Ganesha Sharanam Sharanam Ganesha
Ganesha Sharanam Sharanam Ganesha
Ganesha Sharanam Sharanam Ganesha
Ganesha Sharanam Sharanam Ganesha
Gam Gam Ganapati Sharanam Ganesha
Gam Gam Ganapati Sharanam Ganesha
Gam Gam
This is Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple. I'm here with my co-host, Alan Cobb, and we've just been listening to a piece by John Roberts and Paul Jones, and they are in the studio with us, and we're going to talk about this new music that they have manifested in the form of a new album that'll be coming out. When will it be coming out?
It's going to be kind of officially released at your concert. Next weekend.
And the concert is May 14th at Cafe Paradiso 2011.
So if you're listening to this on May 10th, 2015, you missed the concert.
We hope there's been many in the meantime.
Yes. You've been listening to 400 shows between then and now. We hope you enjoyed them.
All right, I don't even know where to begin, but I know that if we get you guys talking, we'll learn some stuff about how all this came about. Can you say a word or two about how all this came about? John is a... let's hear a little bit about your history, John, before we get launched.
Yeah, who are you anyway?
Yeah.
Well, I'm an amateur vocalist. I've sung off and on all my life. From, you know, grade school on. I did sing in a touring choir when I was in college. After college, I didn't do very much. When I came up here to Fairfield in 82, 83, I got involved with some performing artists at that time and sort of revived my interest in singing. And after that, I went back to Baton Rouge and did three or four shows with Gilbert and Sullivan Society there, which was a lot of fun. Those were nice roles, and I enjoyed that. But throughout the years, I've had vocal training off and on, but now we're doing. All devotional stuff, really. It's this album is primarily bhajans. I learned bhajans by being associated with various gurus, sitting in with them, singing, etc. And in going to India, spending time there. So this has been an interest of mine for a number of years, and it just so happens that Paul likes bhajans too.
I was just going to say, for our listeners who haven't any idea what a bhajan is, can you give us a little perspective on the genre?
There's a word called kirtan. Kirtan means call and response. It's Indian devotional singing, call and response. And the bhajan is typically Sanskrit lyrics. They're always in praise of the divine, and more specifically, they're praising one aspect of the divine, a god. It could be Ganesha, Shiva, Rama, Krishna, but these are devotional songs that are sung generally to accompaniment of a harmonium or a flute or a guitar. And that is where we part company with the tradition because of what Paul is able to do with the synthesizer.
But this is not typical Indian bhajan.
No.
Because you've connected with Paul's maestro level of expression of Western music, and so you've kind of merged Western and the Indian tradition. How did you guys get hooked up then? Did you just, you both are interested in bhajan, and what did you,
how did we get hooked up?
You'd been doing some stuff on your own and that was new in the studio.
Yeah, I started in Boulder a couple of years ago.
So you were developing what
I was writing
turned
some,
into
I was
this.
Writing bhajans out there.
Oh, okay. You were writing, and okay.
And they took a long time to compose because I wrote every note down. The things that John and I do, we don't write very much down. I don't, so it's all improvised. And, you know, I have this long training in these high-powered conservatories in New York and in Europe. And the classical music genre just... it started to become something of an anachronism for me, and it was more fun writing music for devotion, you know, bhakti. And so what we're doing is, it's a fusion between the East and the sacredness of those texts and the robust expressiveness of the Western musical spirit. The West developed, it's a deep thing. I believe that the Western music is what it is because what the West has developed, the sense of individualism and the separate self-sense, the ego, far more than other places where the ego is more embedded into the culture. And there, these developing countries like India and other, Japan, China, are just now supporting the development into individualism and autonomy and so on and so forth. The Western music has a particular kind of passion about it because of that. And I found that the accompaniments to the bhajans, the Indian accompaniments, were many of them were wonderful, but they tended to be a little bit, they're wonderful, but for me, a little bit lackluster. And I heard Satya Sai Baba, the late Satya Sai Baba, record two albums of his devotional music, but it was accompanied by a 40-piece Italian ensemble, which incorporated very conspicuous rhythm tracks and just wonderful high energy fusion between the way he sang, which was very luminous. That's the way John sings. His voice is very luminous too, although John's not Satya Sai Baba, and I'm not Beethoven, of course. But the results, Baba's recordings were just a revelation. I said to myself, "Well, I've got to do this. I mean, I've got to really, you know, try to pull these traditions together to bring these bhajans alive, that people can readily relate to that side, the Western side, as well as the Eastern side." So it's an integration between the two.
But I think it really works beautifully.
Yeah, I do too. It inspired me to the point where I got completely entangled in it.
Yeah, tell us about your part in this whole
thing. Well, my part is really just in the background. I've recorded them and produced their first CD, which is probably the first of several, and which we'll probably reproduce in even better forms in the months to come.
When will that be available?
Well, it's going to start out at their concert next Saturday, which is Saturday the 14th of May, 2011.
right.
And so you can buy a copy of it there. And we've set up an embryonic website. The name of the group is Gitanjali, Gitanjali. So Gitanjali.com is where you'll find, at the moment, a cover of the album and nothing more. But we'll be adding things there, some samples to download.
Isn't it Anandanada?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. The website is not named after the group. It's named after the group's music publishing identity, which is Anandanada.com. That's all A's, and it's phonetic, so I won't bore you by spelling it. Ananda Nada, one word.
So I'll translate.
Please.
Gitanjali means an offering of song. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the meaning. And Ananda, bliss. Nada, sound. So blissful sound.
Can we have another piece to play for the listening audience?
Absolutely.
And you wanted to play a piece that had to do with his improvisational portion.
Yes,
right?
one of the other departures from, I guess, what you would have to call traditional bhajan singing is that John, who's leading the singing, so, and I guess we should throw in the fact that generally bhajans are sung and with a group of people, hence the notion of call and response, meaning that there's someone leading the bhajan and then there's a group of people who repeat what he sings to them. But then John also takes a kind of a cadenza moment in many of them and improvises. So why don't you say a couple of words about that, and then we'll play a section.
Well, both Paul and I are improvising as we do these, of course we've done more or less the traditional melody that people who do bhajans are familiar with. Then there's a point where Paul might give a little interlude, sort of set the tone, and I'll start singing who knows what. It's not planned, and so we can't say that there's any particular language that anybody recognizes. The melody is likewise improvised, and the neat thing about it is that he's able to embellish it, support it, go right with it. So if I go in one direction, he's right there. Sometimes he takes a direction and I follow. But it's just something that is extemporaneous, mm-hmm. and it seems to have worked. You know,
so it's really almost a jazz component.
Well, except, scat singing, right?
Yeah, scat.
Scat,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Doobie doobie,
yeah.
Wah.
Ooh, wah. Diddy diddy.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah, except that the words are not doobie doobie doobie. Yeah. The words are...
Cosmic scat singing.
Yeah, cosmic scat.
Scat singing.
Okay, let's hear it.
So here's a short segment.
There are makes a Sahara. Samaritya Bhama
So we were just listening to the a few lines before and then the beginning of the melisma from Rama Rahima.
When we might add, for those who have tuned in the car about 2 minutes ago and wondered what's going on, that this is a musical performance by John Roberts and Paul Jones,
who perform under the name Gitanjali.
Okay.
And they're playing at Cafe Paradiso this coming Saturday, May 14th, 2011, at 7:45 in the p.m. I think if you can make it to that concert, you'll be pleasantly surprised. This is music that people just haven't heard before. It's a fusion of Indian bhajans and Western accompaniment and composition, spontaneous singing. The whole thing is really kind of defies description. But you've gotten two tastes of it on this show, and I hope that's enough to get you thinking seriously about your Saturday evening plans.
Well, there's quite a range of the West. I mean, the musical flavors are quite broad.
Yes.
Everything from operatic to a little more contemporary Western to classical to I got a chant experience in there, something like Greek Orthodox, Byzantine kind of flavors.
We try to avoid the early classical style because it was so zipped up, although Mozart was a romantic in his own right, so I take most of my ideas, which just come through, and those have a decidedly middle-later romantic quality. We get into, in one bhajan, to Kali, who's a very fierce goddess. The music takes on a more dissonant, almost Bartokian kind of flavor to it. My aim in from my side of it is to characterize these bhajans in the way that the Western art song did, where there's sensitivity to the text and the accompaniment reflects the text, and the sonic, picture that's being created by the singer in the art song poetry. Rather than the accompaniment being just more neutral, or it's much more involved, much more, it's as upfront musically as the singer's own solo singing is. It's not put way in the background.
No, and I really felt that integration.
It's a lot more it's more dynamic, and it grabs the small groups that we've aired this for have been pretty much knocked out of their chairs by the power of it, you know, the combination of the two hemispheres.
So what Paul is saying is that really this is a true collaboration. It's not that the The musical accompaniment is in the background, just giving, you know, sort of a neutral support for the vocal. It's it really has quite an influence on the whole presentation.
Yeah, in the traditional bhajan singing, my guess is that singers rely on their own shakti, their own vocal presence, their own awareness to give audible life to the texts. John is able to do that, and what I bring into it is complementing that more subtle shakti with a real passionate support system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, passionate, dynamic, orchestral.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's more of a duet. You know, I mean, that's not the right term because you're playing different instruments, but.
Well, see, even in Western music, I mean, concertos are written for piano, for example, mm-hmm. and the orchestra,
yeah.
not with.
Right.
And oftentimes you don't, you know, the soloist is pedestalized and everybody else is, you know, kind of muted. But we feel very strongly that the two different energies, the Eastern energy, which doesn't have a lot of the human side of the passion and yearning and expressivity, but has the shakti. And then the Western situation is reversed. So you put them together. And it's a audible locomotive that you're listening to.
Yeah,
I mean, it just grabs you.
Heart and mind.
It grabs you. Well, yeah, it's yeah, heart, spirit, body, the whole inner harmony more expressed.
I always think of the harmonium as kind of a truly serving more as a pitch pipe or more of a, you know, sort of a background.
It just plays a chord progression.
To keep it together. Yeah. That's right. So that's right. It's really a totally different approach.
It plays a chord progression, and that's what it does. There's some soloistic things in it. But I play the chord progressions and then add in whatever feels like. There's sometimes when I'm not even sure what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put my hands down, and it turns out to sound just the right way, so we just follow it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of the magic of what you guys are doing, because the listener hears the synergy between you and hears that you're playing with each other rather than simply playing at the same time. And, you know, I hate to say this because I love orchestral traditional, you know, classical music, but there, the fact that it is so absolutely prescribed and everything is predefined, you know, there's room within that for expressiveness, but I've always had a tendency to lean towards jazz after I've heard my favorite symphony, because of that magical quality where musicians are somehow reading each other's minds in this, you know, domain of the music itself, and they're in the music instead of just creating it or reproducing it or generating it in some cases.
Well, the classical music is riddled with improvisatory, when Beethoven mm-hmm. was premiering his piano concertos and mm-hmm. poor Carl Czerny was turning the pages, there weren't many dots up on the page, so he didn't know when to turn. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was improvised. He would, you know, make things up on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then later they would be written down. So the improvisatory tradition is something that was part of the classical period, but then got kicked out of the official training in the late 19th and early 20th century.
Do you have plans for future albums and future concerts?
Well, the whole operation is sort of seat of the pants, you know. We have a repertoire of things that we've done that we can draw on and do another album. you know, rather soon, but we just need to rehearse and rehearse and get it ready. There's so much material that we, you know, that we could just keep going.
How long have you been doing this together?
About 6 months.
Wow.
It's an interesting process because we start out with a piece, then we do it again, it gets better, it gets better, it gets better, and more creative ideas come in. And it's sort of like what you're doing is it's real-time composing. You're not writing it down, but you're going inherently deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper to get the right, close to the right sounds, the right inflections. But it's in real time. So it's a very, it's a lengthy process, but we, when we rehearse, we know when it starts sounding right, we know it right away. It's okay, this is it, this is great.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I want to thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to the concert on Saturday. And for those of you who have heard this program as a repeat sometime in the future of May 2011, visit anandanada.com, and there you'll find information about all the albums that have come out since.
Vinashini Kali Jaya Jaya.